ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ऋषभं यवनानां त्वाम् वृणे विरेप्सितं पतिं संकल्पस्त्वयि भूतानां कृताखिला नरिष्यते. Approaching the king of the Yavanas, Kalakanya addressed him as a great hero, saying, "My dear sir, you are the best of the untouchables. I am in love with you, and I want you as my husband. I know that no one is baffled if he makes friends with you." Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The words Yavananam Risham refer to the king of the Yavanas. The Sanskrit word Yavana and Malecha apply to those who do not follow the Vedic principles. According to the Vedic principles, one should rise early in the morning, take bath, chant Hare Krishna, offer Mangal Arti to the deities, study Vedic literature, take prasad, and engage in dressing and decorating the deities. One must also collect money for the temple expenditures, or if one is a householder, he must go to work in accordance with his prescribed duties of a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra. In this way, one should live a life of spiritual understanding, and this is the Vedic way of civilization. One who does not follow all these rules and regulations is called a Yavana or Malecha. One should not mistakenly think that these words refer to certain classes of men in other countries. There is no question of limitation according to nationalism. Whether one lives in India or outside of India, he is called a Yavana or Malecha if he does not follow the Vedic principles. One who does not actually follow the hygienic principles prescribed in the Vedic rules and regulations will be subjected to many contagious diseases. Because the students in this Krishna consciousness movement are advised to follow the Vedic principles, they naturally become hygienic. If a person is Krishna conscious, he can work like a young man, even if he is 75 or 80 years old. Thus, the daughter of Kala, time, cannot overcome a Vaishnav. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami engaged in writing Chaitanya Charitamrita when he was very old. Yet he presented the most wonderful literature of the activities of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami began their spiritual lives at a very old age, that is, after they retired from their occupations and family lives. Yet they presented many valuable literatures for the advancement of spiritual life. This is confirmed by Srila Srinivas Acharya, who praised the Goswamis in this way. Nana shastra vichara naika nipano saddharma samsthapako lokanam hitakaruno tribhuvane manyo sharanyakaro Radha Krishna Padaravinda Bhajananandena Mataliko Bande Rupa Sanatano Raguyugo Sri Jiva Gopalago. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhat Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. Thus, jara, the effect of old age, does not harass a devotee. This is because a devotee follows the instructions and the determination of Narada Muni. All devotees are in the disciplic succession, stemming from Narada Muni, because they worship the deity according to Narada Muni's direction, namely the Narada Pancharatra, or the Pancharatriki Vidhi. A devotee follows the principles of Pancharatrika Vidhi as well as Bhagavat Vidhi. Bhagavat Vidhi includes preaching work, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, the hearing and chanting of the glories of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Pancharatrika Vidhi includes Archanam Bandhanam Dasyam Sakyam Atma Nivedanam. Because a devotee rigidly follows the instructions of Narada Muni, he has no fear of old age, disease, or death. Apparently, a devotee may grow old, but he is not subjected to the symptoms of defeat experienced by a common man in old age. Consequently, old age does not make a devotee fearful of death, as a common man is fearful of death. When jara, or old age, takes shelter of a devotee, kalakanya diminishes the devotee's fear. A devotee knows that after death he is going back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, he has no fear of death. Thus, instead of depressing a devotee, advanced age helps him become fearless and thus happy. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 27, entitled Attack by Chandabega on the City of Puranjan. Text number 24. In the previous verses of this chapter, Narada Muni is continuing his narration to King Prachinibarhishat. In this allegorical story about a king named Puranjan, who is none other than the story of King Prachinibarhishat, but spoken in an indirect way so that the king would open his heart to hear. Because people in high positions are accustomed to giving orders. They are not accustomed to receiving instructions from others. People in high position are accustomed to being praised. They are not accustomed to being criticized. Such people are conditioned to tell people where they're going wrong
But nobody dares tell them where they're going wrong.
So here we find such a great person as the king of an entire kingdom. His false ego would immediately just shut down if Narada Muni were to just straightforward say, King, you are in Maya. Huh? One of two things. Either we would kick him out, but he probably wouldn't do that because he was cultured. He would just patiently listen, but not hear a word that was being said. Out of politeness. But Narada Muni is a real preacher. He wanted to actually transform the heart of the king. A preacher is like a good surgeon. He doesn't just put a incision in your skin and then sew it up and make it look like there was a nice surgery. He actually wants to go to the root and actually take the disease out. And for most persons, in order to undergo the pain of surgery, they need some types of anesthesia. Yes, sometimes local anesthesia, sometimes general anesthesia. The anesthesia makes you really not aware of what's really happening to you. Just like some time ago I had to have a surgery. So they told me they were just going to give me some local anesthesia. So I was laying in this one little bed and they gave me some little injection. And then a few seconds later, I was in the same bed in the same room. And I said, well, when are you going to take me for surgery? They said, it's already done. We took you in the operating room. Everything was done and we brought you back. I didn't even know I was asleep. I just thought I'd close my eyes for a second. So because surgery is painful, most people, in order to go through it, anesthesia is required, where they really are not aware of the pain that's going on. So sometimes a good preacher uses the anesthesia of indirect preaching or humor or just creating a very enjoyable environment, just like Pushyabhi Shake the other day. That was a big dose of anesthesia for people. Everyone was laughing and dancing and singing and throwing flowers on each other, but actually what was happening through the whole thing is the darshan of the deity, the holy name of the Lord, was just cutting right into the heart and severing the false ego, crushing the false ego into powder. So painful. But while the whole process is going on, everyone's singing and dancing. We have heard from our beloved God brother Shamsundar Prabhu about in Malati Dev Prabhu about how Prabhupada he would just cut right into the very heart of their false ego, which is the most painful thing for a conditioned soul to possibly tolerate. But he did it with such kindness, with humor, with such loving sentiments, that they actually enjoyed it. They enjoyed their ego being cut to pieces because of the way he did it. They didn't even really know what was happening until it was too late. So that is preacher. Preacher is compassionate and concerned to somehow or other cure this conditioned soul from their disease. Prabhupada said to the book distributors, sometimes when a mother wants to give the child bitter medicine, she puts it inside of a sweet ball. So that, and doesn't tell the child what's inside. If the child was told, you're giving medicine, I will not take. Just lock his mouth shut.
But if you say, here is laddu,
yes, yes. And the medicine acts. So yes, in this world, people are very accustomed to hearing gossip about others. It's very sweet. So Narada Muni, I want to tell you about this king, Puranjan. I want to tell you about all the maya and pitfalls that he fell into. And Prachinivara, yes, yes, I'm eager to hear. But by the time the story was over, King Prachinibarhaishat had completely accepted and digested the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness and everything. And then he realized that actually King Puranjan doesn't even exist. It's just a made-up story about me. He just changed some of the names. He's talking about me. Narada Muni, I surrender. I don't want to end up like him. In this phase of the story, Sri Narada Muni is giving a very, very vital instruction to the world. You see, when Sukadeva Goswami is speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, he is taking historical incidents which are really for the ultimate benefit of all humanity, for all time to come. Whatever is spoken in the Bhagavatam is really meant for everyone to hear, to elevate us to the highest level of spiritual consciousness. Kalakanya is the daughter of time. She is beautiful. She speaks very sweetly. All of her characteristics and mannerisms are amorous and enticing and always inviting whoever she approaches to the promise of great happiness, prosperity, and pleasure. But she's the daughter of time. What is time? Time is the all-devouring energy of the Lord within this material creation. Time is the undefeatable enemy of all people who are attached to their bodies or those things in relation to the body. Because time is in the process at every second of taking everything away from us. Taking away our intelligence. Taking away our physical body. Our power to enjoy. Time is taking away all of our family members, all of our friends, all of our wealth, all of our property, all of our prestige. Everything is going to be consumed by time. And no one in this world has any power to withstand it. We can unplug the clock and think that now the hands of time are standing still. But actually, they are not. Because every other clock in the world is still ticking. And even if you turn off every clock in the world, still the process of time, moment by moment, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, decade by decade. Everything we possess is being consumed. So this is intelligence. It is so important to understand this principle of time that the summary of all the Vedas, The Bhagavad Gita, Gita-Upanishad, such an important Vedic literature, it discusses primarily five topics. And one of those five topics is time. What is the jiva soul? The spirit soul? Who is God? What is material nature? What is karma? The law of action and reaction that's keeping everybody in such a complicated state of bondage. And what is time? How time activates everything within this material existence that creates so much bondage and so much illusion.
Janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam.
Krishna tells in Gita that an intelligent person understands that the real problems of life are not, you know, how to make more money or how to get a good name or how to enjoy this object or that object. The real problems in life are birth, old age, disease, and death. And all of these problems are only coming about because we are influenced by time. Time enters into this world in such a way that no one can actually find any real satisfaction. Time is in the process of taking everything away. If you talk to old people, they all say the same thing. It was only yesterday that I was playing with my classmates in grade school, jumping up and down and singing. Yes? It's like yesterday. When we're young, we're thinking, old age is so far away, let me enjoy. But it just comes upon us, and by the time we're old, it seems like yesterday. Where did my life go? Where did all this time pass? And why did I waste so much of my precious moments? Now it's practically too late. King Kulashekar, he prayed, let me die when I'm young. This was his prayer. Because now, with full vitality, I can chant the holy names of the Lord and remember the Lord. But when I get old, I may get all choked up and my memory may not work properly. But death is coming upon us. When we're young, it's very rare that we really take seriously the subject of death. We may intellectually take it seriously and we may preach about it very, very enthusiastically to others. But within our heart of hearts, are we really taking the subject seriously? We're still making all our plans. Making so many plans for our life. We're not aware that at any moment, you know, we enjoyed this wonderful Pune Yatra. On the way home, over 30 brahmacharis were in one bus together. Some of these brahmacharis are hardly 20 years old. Most of them are in their 20s, some are in their 30s, some are approaching their 40s. The grandfather type brahmacharis. Radha Gopinath, Pitama, Radha Gopinath. Actually, Bhishma was called a grandfather and he was a brahmachari, so we can also... Grandfather Bhishma. He was never married, never had children. He was brahmachari. So we have our grandfather brahmacharis. But most of their little children, grandchildren were 20s. And they're just driving, just like any other drive.
And the brakes failed.
In a brand new van. The bus was only 1 year old, less. Yes? It was quite new, I was told. And the brakes just... And they were going downhill. And the bus driver, he didn't know what to do. Brakes are not working, and he's going faster and faster, and trucks are coming and trucks, and he's going between vehicles and almost crashing at any minute. And he hits the cliff for a moment, and then he bounces off, and he's just... Brahmachari Shamananda Prabhu was giving direction. Do like this, go this way. And everybody was loudly, not just chanting. They were chanting the holy name. It wasn't just a theoretical intellectual exercise like we are doing today. Like, just take yourself away from your pleasant, nice environment and just go deep into contemplation and meditation and imagine that you're about to die and chant the holy names. Sometimes we do like that, but it wasn't like that for them. Death was standing right before them. They're going down the mountain, and they're just missing truck after truck after car after car, and they're coming to a place where it's about to be a gigantic cliff going down, down, down. I'm sure they were meditating on some of our old friends. We're in a bus driving from Badrinath, and the bus fell off and everyone died. Some of our acquaintances were on that bus. So it could happen at any moment. They were young too. So yes, those brahmacharis, they were serious. They understood death has come. This might be the last mantra I ever chant. This is my chance to either go back to Godhead or take another birth. In this state, they really, sincerely were crying out Krishna's holy name. Half the ashram was in that bus. Or about half. Could have been a horrible disaster, but somehow they just crashed into the railing in the middle and just started just tearing into that railing for many, many meters until finally the bus just stopped. And no one was even injured. Except the bus. And the railing also. So yes, when we're young, it's very difficult to really conceive of the problem of old age, disease, and death. And so there's so much information about old age, disease, and death in the holy scriptures, and the sages are always talking about it. The young people think, just tell me about that after 30 years. Because they can't relate. But Prahlad Maharaj, 5 years old, teaching other 5-year-old children, Komara Achare Pragyo Dharman Bhagavataniha. You're 5 years old? Now's the time to hear about this Bhagavad Dharma. Because you do not know when death will come, but you do know one thing, it will come. So that is the power of time. We identify with this body, janasya moho yamaham mameti. And when we identify with this body, then the next thing that naturally occurs is we become very much attached to those things in relation to this body. This is mine. This reputation I have earned is mine. This property is mine. This education is mine. This wealth is mine. This false ego is mine. And we don't want to let go. It becomes our very identity. People suffer an identity crisis when they just can't really grasp onto, you know, who really they are. When there's a major change in a person's life. So we hold on to our identity so hard because all the things around us and all the people around us becomes our identity. But the power of time is in the process at this very second, and for the rest of your life, the power of time is in the process of dismantling and extinguishing your entire egoistic identity. Haribo. But how? How do we come under the clutches of this time? Because the soul is Satchidananda. The soul is the first, most preliminary, elementary understanding of ourself is that we are eternal. We are full of knowledge and we are full of bliss. Yes? That is our nature, eternally, full of knowledge and bliss. Najayate mriyate vakadachin. For the soul, there is no birth, there is no death, there is no old age. The power of time cannot influence or touch the soul in its true state. So how is it and why is it that the soul is so much in a state of fearfulness due to its being controlled by time? Narada Muni is revealing the secret in these pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. The soul comes under the influence of time and has to suffer birth after birth after birth and death after death after death. The soul is cheated from the true wealth of the treasure of love of God due to being under the influence of time. Dukalayam ashashvatam. Mamupetya punarajanma dukalayam ashashvatam. Krishna says in Gita that the reason this world is a place of so much suffering is because everything is temporary. For the eternal soul, it cannot really enjoy that which is temporary. No matter how much you get, you can't really enjoy it because it's temporary. Therefore, it really has nothing to do with the soul. So in order to bewilder the soul, we must forget our eternal spiritual identity and identify with something else. And how does that happen? Narada Muni is revealing in this allegorical story to King Puchuni Barhishat that Kalakanya is the daughter of time. Her duty, her service to her father is to bring the whole world, the whole creation under his influence. Now the thing is, time has no power to influence somebody who does not willingly agree to surrender to him. Haribol. Because the soul's part of Krishna. Only when the soul by its own will agrees that yes, time, I am yours. I surrender. Then time takes complete control over our life and our destiny. Haribo. But we have to give our heart. We have to give our heart. So therefore, time's daughter appears so beautiful, so very, very enticing, and speaks so sweetly, and gives such beautiful promises. Just hear what she is saying. She begins, "My dear sir." Now, who doesn't like to be addressed like that? Just the opening statement. Oh, yes, yes. "My dear sir." Now, for a woman, a very, very distinguished and wonderful man, or for a man, a beautiful, beautiful, sweet woman, if they speak to you like this, "My dear sir," you just, yes. Your ears become very alert. Srimad Bhagavatam class, sometimes I see people, they're kind of, they try to take notes just to stay awake through this Swamiji's class. But when someone approaches you, "My dear sir," oh yes, yes, very nice. Your ego is activated. "You are the best." Now this king was an untouchable, so she's saying, "You are the best of the untouchables." Oh, it's nectar. When people praise us, it's like nectar. We give them full attention. What are the next words she speaks? "She's beautiful. She's dressed elegantly. She's casting glances of affection." And then she says, "I am in love with you." Ah. First of all, she's addressed me as "my dear sir." Then she says, "I am the best of all classes." And now she's telling me she's in love with me. Now this is really a trap. Because the nature of the soul is it wants to be loved. Why? Because Krishna loves us. Krishna's the supreme reservoir of all pleasure. His love is eternal, unlimited, and perfect. The very nature of the soul is to enjoy being loved by Krishna. And the soul also needs to repose its own propensity in love in someone. Our nature is to feel the beautiful love of Krishna and to give the love of our heart to Krishna. But in the material world, we forget Krishna. So all this love that's in our heart that we can't be satisfied unless we repose it somewhere, we're just looking for some object to repose this love. And we may find one for some time. But it never really satisfies us because the soul needs Krishna. No one in this world can compare it to Krishna. And our nature is to love Krishna. One little infinitesimal part and parcel of Krishna glimmering through a perverted reflection can completely captivate, enamor, and infatuate our minds. What to speak of Krishna, who's the cause of all causes, the complete whole of all attractiveness. So yes, we want to love someone, and we want to love someone who loves us. I know in India, this mixing of young boys and girls is not so common. But in the West, I remember when I was a little boy. Now, the little girls can tell from their side of the story, but I can tell from mine. Someone would come to you and whisper in your ear, "Mary loves you."
And the first thing is, I hate her, I hate her, I can't, this little children, I hate Mary, I hate Mary. But then you start thinking of it, she loves me. Then after you're done playing your sports, you lay down at night in your bed and you think, she loves me. She loves me. And then after a while, she loves me. Then you don't even understand how it's happening, but soon, I love Mary! Then they start carving their names in trees with a heart and an arrow. I love you. You don't do that in India, but you may have seen some movies like this. So yes, if somebody loves you, then, she thinks I'm a dear sir and I'm the best. Why would she love me unless she thought I was the best? She could love anybody else. When somebody loves you, it's really a tremendous act of flattery, more than anything else. You can say, to the politicians, Kijai, Prime Minister Kijai, Chief Minister Kijai, but what is the depth of that? But if you actually love someone, then that's like, that is the ultimate statement that you are the best. We like that. So yes, Kalakanya is appearing in the most beautiful, amorous form. You are the best, my dear sir, and I am in love with you. I want you as my husband. I know that no one is baffled if he makes friends with you. What she is saying at the end here is another type of flattery which is meant to trap you. That I am very good. I am the supporter. I am the provider. I am the shelter of so many others. Yes? People like to think like that. On my order, so many people are eating. On my order, so many people are being healed. On my order, so many people are benefiting. This is a great satisfaction, especially to those who are a little in the mode of goodness. They feel great gratification when others see that I am their friend, I am their shelter. So Kalakanya knows just the words, just the way to appear, just the right movements to somehow or other get the spirit soul to willingly accept her. And once you accept her, you are under the control of time. Birth, old age, disease, and death, and all of the details that come along with it. So it is a fact that no one in this world can possibly overcome the power of time. Krishna tells in Gita, Daivihesu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mamaivam ye prapadyante maya metatarantita. This divine energy of mine, material nature, which is constituted by the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, is very difficult to overcome. How do the modes of material nature affect the soul? According to the Bhagavatam, the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, are activated by time. And only if the soul willingly agrees to come under the influence, the subordination of material energy, is the soul entrapped. And only as long as the soul wants to remain within this material energy are we trapped. But Kalakanya is so attractive, so enticing,
that even after we read the scriptures and intellectually understand exactly what's happening and how we're cheated, still we're so infatuated and intoxicated by her charms, or by his charms, depending, we can't get out. Just like in the story of Mohini Murti. You know Mohini Murti, after the devas and the asuras performed so many incredibly difficult austerities to get this amrita, this nectar, the demons took the whole pot of nectar. It would have left the demigods in a very hopeless state. So the demigods were helpless. Now the demons have the nectar. They're going to drink it. They're going to become so powerful. We're going to be helpless. So they prayed to Lord Vishnu to save them. And Lord Vishnu appeared as Mohini Murti, not only to perform a wonderful pastime, but to teach a good lesson to the world. Mohini Murti was so beautiful. All the demons, she looked at each of them, and each of them thinks, she loves me. She thinks of all the assembled people here. I am the best. She loves me and only me. Ah. And she glanced so affectionately upon them. And that glance entered so deeply into their hearts. They all unanimously agreed, we'll give the nectar to her and she can give it to whoever she wants, because every single one of them was thinking, she will definitely give them this nectar only to me. And even before she took it, she said, why do you want to give it to me? You don't even know who I am. I'm just traveling around all alone. How could you trust something like this? You shouldn't trust such a stranger. She was telling them the truth. But although they're hearing the truth, they were listening, but they weren't hearing because they were infatuated. They were saying, yes, yes, what you're saying is very nice, please take the nectar. And then she gave all the nectar to the demigods. So they willingly gave it. And even intellectually, theoretically understanding the truth of it, they were overpowered by the enchantment of the energy of the Lord. So yes, Krishna says in Gita, this material energy is very, very difficult to overcome. How to come out of this fearful condition of the being bound by time? There's only one way. Prahlad Maharaj explains. If you want to be happy in this world, stop trying to be happy in this world. Sounds simple enough, doesn't it? But who could do it? We are ananda mayo vyashat. We are pleasure seeking. We must be happy. The soul is not just a stagnant piece of stone. The soul is by nature dynamic. That soul is part of God. The soul wants happiness. It wants bliss. The soul is longing for ecstasy, and it will not settle for anything less than ecstasy. So how can the soul stop trying to be happy? It's not possible. But Prahlad says, if you want to be happy and never suffer again, stop trying to be happy here. That because of the influence of time, the enjoyments of this world is like the scratching of an itch. If you have a rash, the first thing a good doctor will tell you is, do not scratch it. Yes? Because the more when you scratch it, it really feels good. It just feels so good. So nice feeling when you scratch an itch. But what's happening is while you're scratching it, it's just getting redder and redder and redder and more inflamed. And it's itching more, and as soon as you stop scratching, it's, ah! Oh, it feels so good, it feels so good. Ah, it feels so nice. And then you stop, and it's just blazing like fire. Ah! You're laughing, but actually, birth after birth, that's what our whole life is dedicated, this same principle. Just scratching the itch. If you want to stop the itch, I remember, even when I was a little boy, I had a rash. My parents, the doctor, actually tied my hands so I couldn't scratch it. Yes, they tied my hands. Ah! But you have to tolerate. And while you're tolerating, you have to put some nice lotion or something. Yes? And gradually. So that the soul is by nature looking for pleasure. It's artificial. It's unnatural for the soul to suffer. But how? How to stop scratching? How to stop endeavoring for material happiness? Krishna explains in Gita, there is only one way. Param drisva nivartate. We must experience something higher, something more ecstatic. That is the path of bhakti. The positive alternative to karmic bondage activities. And what is that positive alternative? Activities that pave the way to eternal joy. Activities that awaken the loving nature of the soul. So yes, the day before yesterday, in the city of Bombay, there was probably hundreds and thousands of people sitting in cinema houses and concert halls and discos and permit rooms, which are taverns, or houses of prostitution, or so many other activity. They were right there while we were here. And they were enjoying seeing some movie. Actually, movie is... it's really illusory. It's just light beams going, and somehow you're just watching these light beams and you're just completely immersed in a story, in an identity. But if somebody turns on the light, you can't see anything, right? Actually, the whole material world is like a movie theater or cinema house. They have to make everything pitch dark in order for you to see the screen. Yes? Then all this light appears. Like, here's a beautiful lady singing and dancing, and here's a beautiful man who's shooting someone with a gun or beating someone with a club. It's what they usually... people like to see these things often. And there it is, and you're just completely immersed. You become a part of the story. You're identifying with the characters of the story. Your heart, your soul, your everything is... totally engrossed, and then someone turns on the light and you can't see anything. Yes? Nothing's there. Krishna Surya Samaya Hoya Andhakar. In darkness, we identify with this whole dramatic performance of our life. In darkness, we're thinking, I am Radhanath Swami. I am 53 years old, and I'm such a good personality to see what I am doing. In darkness, we're thinking like this. In darkness, we're thinking, this is my mother, this is my father, this is my friends, this is my husband, this is my wife, this is my children, this is my degree, this is my house, this is my wealth, this is my empire, this is my life. In darkness, we're thinking all these things. And the darker it is, the more clear the whole drama is of our life. We're identifying so much. We're completely engrossed. Sometimes in a good cinema, you totally forget who you are. You're just immersed. So that's how Maya works. She puts us in this cinema house of material existence, and we're just completely engrossed with the whole dramatic performance of who we are and what the world is. But Krishna is light. As soon as the light of Krishna goes on, you realize this is who I really am. All the illusions are dispelled. When the sun rises of Krishna, all darkness is dispelled. And when darkness is dispelled, all the illusions, all the misconceptions, all the misidentifications of the drama of material illusion dissipate. Unless we're tasting something very sweet, how can we resist the charms of Kala Kanya, who birth after birth after birth has been whispering in various ways in our ears, "My dear sir, you are the best. I am in love with you. Who could tolerate your charms? And you are so good. You're the best well-wishing friend of everyone. I want you to be my husband." And we say, "Oh, what good fortune has come upon me. She could have gone to everyone and anyone else, but she's chosen me." But little do we know, she's actually saying the same thing to every living entity. And every living, just like Krishna and Rasa dance was between each gopi, and each gopi's thinking, "He's only with me." So this is how Maya keeps us entrapped. Krishna's energy in a perverted way. Every person is thinking, "Oh, just see how fortunate I am." And then once you fall into that trap, then poom, 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 so many difficulties come. And sometimes we don't think we're so fortunate. Sometimes we do. We go up and we down and up and down according to the modes of nature, according to our karmic conditions. But we're trapped. Unless we understand Maya Devi for what it is, that means we have to see through our ears, not through our eyes. We have to see through what we hear from the great sages, from the holy scriptures. And we look for Krishna. Yes, we have been under the bondage of the powers of time since time immemorial. We are conditioned, we are addicted. But when Om Agyanti Midandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmoy Sri Guruve Namaha, the spiritual master removes this darkness with the light of knowledge. And when we apply that knowledge to our life, gradually we start to experience Krishna. Rupa Goswami said, "If you are attached to all of the various bondages of this world, don't look at Krishna. Because Krishna will attract your heart." So yes, that other night, so many people were enjoying. But here the devotees were enjoying. It was so beautiful. Every time a different color flower fell on Radha Gopinath's beautiful forms, the devotees were cheering. Yes, bigger cheers than when India gets the final score of the cricket match against Pakistan and wins. or by Western standard, bigger cheer than the last minute touchdown in the Super Bowl by the home team. Yes. when those red Vrindavan rose flowers were cascading beautifully like a shower upon Radharani and Gopinath's head, there was Harivo! It was coming from devotees' hearts. They were just so happy to see Krishna enjoying. Radharani enjoying. And the association, everyone's heart was just one. Everyone's heart became one. Prabhupada says that oneness doesn't mean you become God. It means you have the same purpose as God. You become one with the will of God. Similarly, we can all become one when we are all thinking with the same purpose for the pleasure of Krishna. There was singing, there was dancing, there was showers of flowers on the deities and showers of flowers on the devotees, and there was nice prasad, and devotees were very happy, intoxicated. But this intoxication was actually awakening the eternal love of their souls. It was purifying their heart. It was extinguishing all karmic bondage. It was annihilating the influence of time. Because Krishna is all attractive. When the devotees in 22nd Avenue, they advised Prabhupada that we should name our organization the International Society for God Consciousness, because nobody knows who Krishna is in the West. Now that would have been sensible from a managerial point of view. Why say Krishna when nobody knows Krishna? Just say God. Everyone knows God. But Prabhupada was very, very strongly committed. No, Krishna consciousness. Because people don't know who God is. It's just an idea. It's just a concept, God. You know, the controller, the father. But that idea is not in and of itself going to free us from all the temptations of Maya. After all, look at most of the people who believe in God. They're engaging in so many materialistic, sense gratificatory, and sinful activities without even a second thought. And they believe in God. If we want to actually help people rise above this karmic life, we have to teach them that God is all attractive. That he's the reservoir of all beauty, knowledge, strength, wealth, fame, renunciation. He possesses all opulences in full. Everything that we're looking to find in an object of enjoyment, Krishna is in the complete whole. He's all attractive. And he appears in his eternal transcendental form to attract our hearts and minds back to his loving service. So yes, Krishna is, there is one God for all living beings, and he has many names, but the name Krishna is so important. Because unless we develop the higher taste of being attracted to Krishna, and those things in relation to Krishna, it is impossible in the long run, on a permanent basis, to stop scratching these itches. As we taste Krishna, we forget there's even an itch, and it just heals naturally. Harivo. So yes, Narada Muni, he is teaching. He's always chanting the holy names of the Lord. It is described in the previous verses that Kalakanya approached Narada Muni. My dear sir, you are the best of the sages and the rishis. You are merciful to all living beings. You are so handsome. You are so wonderful. And I am in love with you. Please be my husband. Nobody can resist this. But Narada Muni said, Mataji,
Hare Krishna. I have my service to the Lord.
And she was so angry that she severely cursed Narada Muni. Actually, it is explained in previous verses that not only does she entice, not only does Kala Kanya speaking such sweet words, but promising incredible benedictions, and actually has the power to give you those benedictions. Just be my husband, and you will get wealth. You will get fame. You will get so much pleasure. Look at what I can give you. Look at what I have. Temptation. And she has the power to give it. But after you become completely attached to it, then she takes it away. But we don't know that. So yes, this is the Christian conception amongst certain philosophical Christians, that you sell your soul to Satan. Huh? Sell your soul to the devil. And the idea of this is the devil or Satan, or what we would call Maya or material energy, has the power to give us incredible material benedictions. I will make you wealthy. I will make you learned. I will make you the greatest musician in your field that has ever lived. I will give you so much. Just ask. I will give. I will give you health. Yes, yes, I will accept it. But once you accept, according to the theology that we are discussing, once you accept anything from the devil, then you become his debtor. Once you accept any favor, you come under control. You've given your heart. You become his property. Hare Krishna. So yes, we accept favors from material energy and we come under the control of material energy. We accept benedictions from material energy, we become under the control of material energy. But those benedictions are very attractive, very irresistible. We sell our souls away from God just to accept these paltry benedictions of material life, thinking that there's something good. And in the process, moment after moment passes and our life is being wasted without self-realization, in forgetfulness of God. Thus, Narada Muni was severely cursed by Kala Kanya. She cursed him that he would never be able to stay in one place. He'd always have to move. Hare Krishna. He accepted it as a benediction. Narada Muni Bhajayivi Naradhika Ramana Name. Because he's always chanting the Lord's names, always absorbed in the Lord, Kala Kanya could not entice him, could not tempt him, could not distract him. Because he was experiencing a higher taste. And that same great opportunity is available for everyone. Srila Prabhupada has made it so accommodating. Just associate with sincere people. Develop a higher taste of actually finding happiness in the association of pure-hearted souls who love to serve others, who are trying to be humble, who are trying to love Krishna, serve Krishna, hear about Krishna, and who come together blissfully to dance, to feast, and to chant the holy names. if we do that, yes, it is true. Material energy will come with so many threatened curses. You will lose this, or you will lose that, and your people will not like you.
Narada Muni was very happy. Because ultimately, if you water the root of the tree, all things are satisfied.
Cheto darapana marajanam bhava mahadabhagmi nabhapanam.
The chanting of the holy names cleans the heart.
Therefore, it is the prime benediction for all humanity. Maya Devi is offering so many benedictions. But the real benediction is that Krishna has descended in his holy name. Anandam buddhivardhanam pratipatam punamrata svadhanam. The real pleasure, the bliss, the ecstasy that we are all searching for can be realized forever by accepting this great benediction of chanting Krishna's holy name.
Are there any comments? Shamsundar Prabhu, would you like to make comment? Malati Prabhu? Vishaka Prabhu? Yarubar Prabhu? Would you like to enlighten us with the words of your wonderful love for Prabhupada and Krishna? This microphone is, can you give it?
The only thing I said was the word perfect. Nothing to be added. Thank you very much.
That's all. Anyhow, thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Raghunath Ji. Actually, Raghunath Prabhu is leaving today. Yes? Would you like to give some parting words to the devotees before you go?
I want to thank all the Vaishnavas. Maharaj has invited me to Mumbai when he knew I was coming to India. And I couldn't understand why I was getting all this service, because Maharaj is always having people serve Bridget and myself since we've been here. And my realization last night was he wants to teach me how to be a devotee. So I want to thank all the Vaishnavas in Mumbai for teaching me how to become a devotee. I want to thank Maharaj for making me feel part of a family. And I really want to return.
Everyone who would like Raghunath and Bridget to return, please chant Hari Bol. Please accept this as our heartfelt invitation. Would you like to speak something? Malati Prabhu? Would you like to speak something? Malati Prabhu is also going away today.
Hare Krishna. I would also like to offer my sincere thank you to yourself, Radhanath Swami, for kindly guiding all of us throughout these wonderful yatras and these wonderful, wonderful festivals of ego deflation, and for the entire Chapati congregation of devotees who are wonderfully serving Radha Gopinath and all of the Vaishnavas who have the good fortune of stepping foot inside this very special and unique facility dedicated to the service and glory of Srila Prabhupada. Thank all of you very much. Hare Krishna.
Let us invite Malati Prabhu back with great heartfelt enthusiasm. Vishaka Prabhu,
Please enlighten us with your words of divine energies.
Hare Krishna. I can only reiterate my feelings from being here. At the same time, I feel very humbled being here, because under the instructions and the direction and the example of Radhanath Maharaj, you have created in this wonderful temple of Radha Gopinath an environment of humble service with devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is the goal of the human form of life. So coming here, I realize immediately how much I personally am lacking in that attitude, in that consciousness. So it's a very humbling experience. At the same time, it's very bewildering, because somehow or other, through the training and the wonderful example you've received, that is Radha Gopinath. Those of us who are guests are the recipients of respect. So it's bewildering. So I'm at once humbled and bewildered. And in that sad state, here I am. And all I can do is thank you and be grateful for this wonderful community. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much for your blessings, Vishakha. But you're staying for some more days?
I think that is up to Nitya Krishna Prabhu. He is our dentist. He controls our activities.
Then I'm sure you'll stay for some time. Thank you very much. This is Muralidhar Prabhu and Nitya Krishna Prabhu are so merciful by their transcendental activities. They are attracting so many devotees to bless us and stay with us. We're also very honored to have Dhairam Prabhu amongst us today. Dhairam Prabhu is one of the great fearless heroes of Srila Prabhupada's movement. He has performed such difficult, thankless tasks. He has brought the whole of Calcutta again into Srila Prabhupada's two wonderful centers of Calcutta to be utilized by Prabhupada's devotees. He's performing fearless, inconceivable services. And he's one of the most honored and appreciated Vaishnavas in the whole world, especially by the leaders of our society. For many years, he was the leading president of our international headquarters, Sri Mayapur Dham. And actually, to perform higher, more difficult services for the leadership of ISKCON, he actually has moved on. He's always a very dear friend and well-wisher of all of us. Let us welcome Sri Dhairam Prabhu to our humble temple. Kirtida Mataji, would you like to speak something? We have been reading about Kala Kanya, the daughter of time. She is Kirtida Kanya. That is the name Prabhupada, Devidasi. That means Radharani, who is the daughter of Kirtida.
Thank you, Marge. You know, I told you a few days after I've been here that I don't think I could ever let my husband come here, because once he sees the service attitude, then he'd know that I'm a real fraud. I want to thank you for letting us stay. stay and feeling part of your family. I want to thank all the devotees here for their example that we've come here to learn how to be better devotees. And the longer we stay, the more we want to stay.
Thank you very, very much, Mataji. It is devotees like Kirtida, Kanya Mataji, her Prabhu, and her good husband, Vidya Nanda Prabhu, that is foundational to our whole society. These humble devotees who are happy just to be serving, but year after year, 3 decades, where they're just steadily, faithfully, lovingly serving Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas. They really are the basis of the sanctity of our society. Such wonderful, wonderful, selfless devotees. Let us offer our deep appreciation for Kirtida Mataji and her family. Thank you very much. We should end here. We have slightly gone over time, considering that the class was about the subject of time. I should be more conscious of time, I'm sorry. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.